A black man in Georgia was accused of murder. He was accused of killing an elderly white woman. And that black suspect was convicted by an all-white jury. Today, his case goes before the United States Supreme Court. The justices are considering a long-standing debate over racial discrimination when selecting a jury. Here's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
Numerous studies demonstrate that prosecutors remove black jurors at significantly higher rates than white jurors. Those are not my words. They come from a group of highly regarded prosecutors, Republican and Democrat, conservative and liberal, who filed a brief in the appeal of Timothy Foster, the man whose case is before the Supreme Court today. It's been nearly 30 years since the High Court sought to toughen the rules against racial discrimination in jury selection, but Foster's lawyers argue that black jurors were systematically excluded from the jury at his trial in 1987, while judges at all levels looked the other way for nearly three decades thereafter. Jury selection is done according to a set of rules. Prospective jurors are usually questioned by both prosecution and defense lawyers, and then winnowed down in two different ways. First, the judge removes for cause those deemed incapable of being impartial. Next, each side, prosecution and defense, has a set number of peremptory strikes, meaning that a certain number of prospective jurors can be eliminated without a stated reason. In 1986, the Supreme Court added a third step. Under the new rules laid down in Batson v. Kentucky, if the defense could show a racial pattern in peremptory strikes, the prosecutor would have to justify each one by demonstrating a non-racial reason for eliminating the juror. Still, prosecutors found ways to get around that, as demonstrated in this infamous late 1980s training video featuring then-assistant Philadelphia District Attorney Jack McMahon.
Young black women are very bad.
Avoid them in jury selection, he advised. Also avoid older black women, young black men, smart black prospective jurors, and well-educated ones. But McMahon reminded the trainees that they had to come up with a non-racial reason for their strikes.
When you do have a black juror, you question them at length, and on this little sheet that you have, mark something down that you can articulate later time if something happens.
Studies have shown that these reasons are often a mere pretext for racial discrimination. At Timothy Foster's trial, the prosecutor used four of his nine peremptory strikes to knock out all four qualified black jurors in the jury pool. The defense cried foul, but the trial judge and every appellate court after that accepted the non-racial reasons, up to a dozen reasons for each black prospective juror, reasons that included failed to make eye contact, looked bored, was a social worker, was divorced, and so on. The appellate courts continued to accept these excuses even after Foster's lawyers obtained the prosecutor's notes in 2006 under the Georgia Open Records Act. It's rare that defense lawyers even see these notes, and in this case, they were not subtle. The name of each black prospective juror was highlighted in green, circled, and labeled with a B. Today at the Supreme Court, lawyer Stephen Bright will tell the justices that everything about these notes reeks of racial discrimination.
They were referred to by B1, B2, B3. There were comparisons made among the black jurors that if we have to take a black, maybe Ms. Harge will be okay, or maybe Ms. Garrett will be okay. They didn't, of course, take either one of those.
Bright says the state of Georgia continues to change its story about the justifications. For example, prosecutors initially said they struck juror Eddie Hood because he had a son close to the defendant's age. Later, when it turned out that two white jurors had teenage sons too, the prosecutors gave a different bottom-line reason. Here's defense lawyer Bright.
They insisted that the Church of Christ took a strong position against the death penalty and that any member of the Church of Christ would vote against the death penalty.
In fact, the Church of Christ, to which Hood belonged, took no position on the death penalty, and the prosecution notes reflect that. Then there was prospective juror Marilyn Garrett. The prosecution said it struck her because she was close to the age of the defendant. Foster was 18 at the time of the trial and Garrett 34. In contrast, the prosecution accepted eight white jurors under 35. The state of Georgia refused to provide anyone to be interviewed for this broadcast, but the state's brief says that any attempt to characterize the jury challenges as racially motivated ignores the multifaceted nature of jury selection. The brief contends that the only reason prosecutors labeled the race of the prospective jurors was to rebut the anticipated race discrimination claim by the defense. No briefs have been filed in support of the state of Georgia's position in this case, but that group of distinguished former state and federal prosecutors we talked about earlier is urging the Supreme Court to invalidate Foster's conviction because of what they called blatant prosecutorial misconduct. The brief notes that study after study has shown that when it comes to getting rid of racial discrimination, the current system doesn't work. Prosecutors make a game of giving pretextual explanations. In North Carolina, for example, handing out a one-page list of these reasons in training sessions. And judges look the other way. Again, Lawyer Bright.
Very hard politically with elected judges. Very hard psychologically with just judges and prosecutors who work together all the time for a judge to make that finding.
It's also true that juries that are more racially diverse are, in fact, more skeptical of the prosecution's case and less likely to impose the death penalty. And defense lawyers use their strikes, too, to try to even the racial odds. A 2004 study by the Capital Jury Project found that in cases with a black defendant and a white victim, the chances of a jury imposing the death sentence were sharply lower if one or more black men served on the jury. Today's case before the Supreme Court is widely viewed as a chance for the justices to once again rap the knuckles of the lower courts. But it's unlikely the court will be willing to establish hard and fast rules to prevent the kind of systemic discrimination that most in the criminal justice system acknowledge has plagued the courts from Alabama to California. Most experts say the only way to do that would be to eliminate or drastically limit peremptory strikes. And that's a non-starter with most trial lawyers who believe these challenges are an essential tool for selecting a jury. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.